to the talks designed to reduce the threat Iran poses of developing a nuclear weapon. There's an end-of-the-month deadline for reaching a framework agreement as the talks resume tomorrow in Lausanne, Switzerland. NPR's Peter Kenyon joins us from Istanbul before he heads to Switzerland. And Peter, you tweeted that this nuclear deal is like a new supermoon at equinox. It's huge, but no one can see it.
Yeah, basically, a supermoon, as astronomers know much better than me, is at the closest point to the Earth, so it looks huge when it's full. But a new supermoon, of course, can't be seen. And these talks could be huge diplomatically. They could lead to changing U.S.-Iran relations. That could impact all kinds of issues. But because they're so sensitive, the negotiating points are mostly secret. So we know it's there, but we don't know what it looks like. And next week, they may give us some clues in the form of a framework or political understanding of what the major elements are going to be.
Well, it's something we can't see, but that's not going to stop us from asking you,
right.
You know, what we know. You know, do we know what the sticking points are?
There's differences in both substance and politics. On the issues, Iran, for one thing, wants early and robust sanctions relief, crippling their economy, while the U.S. and its allies want something less irreversible, maybe suspending some sanctions with the ability to reimpose them in case Iran doesn't live up to its side of the bargain. Officials have developed this catchphrase, snap back. They want sanctions relief that can be snapped back into place if need be, at least in the early going of any accord. And then on the politics, the U.S. at this point is looking for as much tangible evidence of progress this month as they can get. They want to show that to critics in Congress and elsewhere. But in Iran, the supreme leader has said, wait, we're not going to do intermediate or phased-in deals. The final deadline's July. Let's focus on that. So it will be kind of interesting to see what exactly they come out with next week, assuming the talks go well.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, thoughts directed towards Congress in the U.S. Republicans have been highly critical. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, of course, took to Congress to criticize the deal as he saw it so far, accusations that it was leaked. Hardliners in Tehran are making the same kinds of accusations against the Iranian negotiators that the deal is giving up too much. So can you just tell us what is the thinking from experts in the field as to where Iran is on the possibility of developing a nuclear bomb?
Well, most experts say that decision hasn't been made by Iran, but experts will also tell you that over the years since the last effort more than a decade ago collapsed, Iran has acquired a tremendous amount of nuclear know-how. It has mastered the fuel cycle. It knows how to enrich nuclear fuel. And that's something that really can't be erased, despite some attempts to murder, assassinate nuclear scientists. So if your main concern is stopping Iran from even becoming able to know how to build a nuclear weapon, that's going to be extremely difficult. If you want to create a situation where it's very hard for Iran to make that decision without getting caught, then you've got something that might be diplomatically doable, and that's what they're aiming for.
And what do you think is going to happen next week?
I think there's a pretty good chance that they will come out with something. They'll either say, in the pessimistic view, we've made a lot of progress, but we can't really tell you much about it. That wouldn't help the U.S. side, certainly, with their critics back home. They could come out with something more substantive, something that has some numbers in it, some issues in it, some tangible steps. And that might give these talks the kind of momentum that they need to buy time for the next 3 months of grinding drafting process, where they have to write it all down, get the technical details right. And that certainly will be every bit as tough as what we've seen to date.
And what does the Obama administration say to critics who say that there shouldn't be any deal at all, that it's impossible to trust the Iranians?
Well, certainly a lot of people hold that view. I mean, even one of the negotiators reported to Congress that deception is in their DNA at one point. But the return argument to that is, well, what's the alternative? We've seen what happens when you walk away from the table. Iran built 20,000 centrifuges and put them into operation. They started enriching uranium to 20%, much closer to weapons grade. The 20% is now all gone because of this interim deal we have. And if we can get something like that, only longer lasting and stronger and verifiable, that might be worth trying for.
This table that we can't see that everyone's gathered around, Russia, China, Britain, Germany, France also there. Do they have the same interest as the U.S.?
Not exactly, no. Every country has their own national interests, but Russia and China really want to do business with Iran. That's important to them, and that might happen if there is a deal. And at the moment, keeping Iran from getting a bomb seems to be the number one concern. But as we get closer to a potential deal, we'll have to watch those dynamics even more closely.
Yeah. NPR's Peter Kenyon, who will be watching, he's in Istanbul now, but on his way to Switzerland, where the talks on Iran's nuclear program will resume. Peter, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Robin.